Jordan-Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello and welcome to the Wishbone Podcast, brought to you in association with the WarEagleReader.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host,
John Ringer.
And we are back after a nice little spring summer break, little layoff, to talk about all things Auburn football. Rather than do shows on our power rankings of favorite brands of hot dog or types of salad dressings, we prefer to take a little break and get ready for the build-up to the season. And here we are, building up to the season. John, are you ready?
I'm excited. It's not that far away.
I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is. It seems like just yesterday we were, you know, crunching under the depression of the end of the season. And then we had the coaching hire, and now we're getting ready to see what real Malzahn football looks like.
That's right. Well, yeah, we have done a few shows. We did the a show about sort of recruiting wrap up, and we did our show talking about A-Day, the spring, which we also combined with an interview with Mike Scott-Nicky. So we talked about his book that had just come out on national championships and our book that was about to come out. And I guess we better update the folks first on what the news is with that, because that was kind of the big news, at least for us, in the last 2 or 3 months, right?
Earth-shattering news.
Earth-shattering news, absolutely. We got decades of dominance, Auburn football in the modern era. It came out, if you didn't know, it just came out at the end of May, and it's on Amazon. It was actually on Amazon Europe and Amazon UK before it was on Amazon here for whatever reason.
We like to take care of the European fans.
Yeah, they get neglected sometimes, so we had to make sure they were. But yeah, it came out at the end of May and has been doing really well. And we did the event at the Alabama Phoenix Festival. A little shout out to the great folks in Birmingham at the Phoenix Festival that were just fantastic, as I fully expected that they would be and knew that they would be, and sold a few copies there. And we had some interesting media stuff during that time, John. I got to be on Channel 13 in Birmingham and talk on the Alabama Tonight Show. And I also did the Sports Blitz TV show. I did an audio interview with them about a week ago, I think. And you got to be on with the radio crowd. Who were you on with?
Rich Perkins on the ESPN radio affiliate in Auburn. I really appreciated Rich having me on his show to talk about the book. And we had a great conversation. And I really appreciated him giving us time to talk about that. And he has a lot of interest in Auburn football and Auburn history, and we had a great conversation about it.
Yeah, I got to hear that later on, and it was really, really good. I enjoyed that tremendously. And also the guys at Channel 13 were incredibly kind to me and my sister that were there. And the guys at the Sports Split show were talking about having at least me back on. I'll see if I can get them to have us as a duo, maybe, if we're
able
to. Yeah, to talk about Auburn football this fall. So we'll see how that goes. We're hoping that'll pan out. So, yeah, and so we've done radio, we've done TV, we've been multimedia guests, we've been multitasking across multimedia, trying to get the word out about the book, and people seem to be liking it. Can we talk about the celebrity endorser that we had? Are we able to do that?
I can tell you, well, people may have seen him in person. If one of the people that's really enjoyed our book and has said a lot of good things about it is David Housel, former Auburn athletic director, sports information director, and general voice of Auburn fans everywhere. And he's done a lot, said a lot of nice things about it. If you go to Amazon and look at the very first review from Big Dave, that's actually David Housel's review of the book. And I know that he has spoken to a lot of local Auburn clubs around the South as he's traveled around and talked to them. And he's put endorsements for the book because he appreciates it. And I think he appreciates the perspective it has of the Auburn fan, because that's the way he thinks about it. So I appreciate everything he's done for us for the book. And, you know, it's nice to know that someone in his position really appreciates the history and how we brought it together.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't thank David enough for his kindness in doing that, and I'm glad that he really seems to have enjoyed it. And so if folks are still wanting to figure out how to get it, again, go to Amazon. It's called Decades of Dominance. It should be by now available to bookstores. I would imagine that bookstores in the state of Alabama would want to stock it on their shelves. I don't know why on earth they wouldn't. But if they don't have it, you can always ask somebody in a bookstore, and they should be able to get it in for you within a couple of days if you don't want to go through Amazon. So we think that you'll dig it, and we hope you'll check it out. Okay, well, you ready to kind of get into our first major topic that doesn't involve us?
I am. I'm ready.
All right. So I'll let you go ahead and introduce it since you kind of brought it up.
Well, to me, I mean, we care about Auburn. We care about Auburn football and the history of Auburn football. And one of these things that's out there now is a real threat to the Auburn-Georgia rivalry. Like a lot of things in the world, you know, money is changing college football. Yeah. And the amount of money being invested in college football in terms of television contracts and everything is changing, you know, is changing, having teams change leagues. It's breaking up longstanding rivalries. And right now, today, it's a threat to the Auburn-Georgia rivalry. And the threat is posed by balance and on the unfairness of the schedule, which anybody who's followed the SEC for a long time like we have knows it's very cyclical. It goes up and down. It's not something you can – unless you're going to have everybody play everybody, which isn't going to happen, you can't get around that. You know, the current scheduling format is you play everybody in your own division, you play one permanent opponent, and you play one rotating opponent from the other division. And we kept that because – they wanted to maintain the Auburn-Georgia rivalry and the Alabama-Tennessee rivalry. Mm-hmm. The rest of them are pretty artificial. LSU playing Florida. You know, nope, nobody really cares. South Carolina, Arkansas, things like that. People aren't losing any sleep about that. But the Auburn-Georgia rivalry matters. And right now, a lot of this discussion comes about because Tennessee has been bad recently and Alabama has been crushing them. And so everybody's like, well, that's not fair. You know, that Alabama gets to crush Tennessee and LSU and Florida have to play each other. But the reality is that's very cyclical. And for a long time, Tennessee was better than a lot of those other teams in the East. And it was a tougher game for Alabama.
Right.
So you can't – even if they went to a – you know, you play everybody in your division, you play no permanent opponent, so you play two rotating opponents, it still wouldn't be fair because some years you're going to play, you know, Georgia, Florida – or Georgia or South Carolina, Florida, or something like that. And some years you're going to get, you know, Missouri and Kentucky. That's just how it's going to work. So there is no fair way to do it unless you play everybody, and that's not going to happen because we're only going to play so many games. Now, the other side is they're talking about going to 9 conference games. The coaches are opposed to that. Again, down the road, I think that may happen because it's about money, and the money the television networks are paying in is tremendous right now, and they may push the SEC to go to 9 conference games. But I wanted to talk for a minute because you and I have both spent a lot of time going to Auburn games and Auburn-Georgia games particularly, both in Auburn and Athens. And I think people don't appreciate, you know, the fact that this may disappear and how important this is.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn and Georgia are at this moment the third longest standing rivalry in college football. A lot of the ones ahead of us have gone away because of conference realignment. Here's how the list looks right now. Minnesota and Wisconsin are the number one most played rivalry in college football. Not that anybody cares about that game.
Right.
You know, the second most played rivalry in college football was Missouri and Kansas. And yeah, they've stopped playing now since Missouri joined the SEC. That's too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for them. They played 120 years in a row and stopped. The third most rivalry was Texas A&M. They played 118 years in a row and stopped. To me, there's some things where money isn't worth it, and stopping great college football rivalries is one of those things. You should just say, we're going to keep doing it, we're going to find a way, but all the money gets involved, people don't want tough schedules, there's a lot of hurt feelings, especially in that Texas A&M. So in terms of active rivalries, it's Minnesota-Wisconsin, North Carolina, Virginia, then Miami of Ohio and Cincinnati, which nobody cares about, and then Auburn, Georgia.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, 116 years in a row we've been playing since 1892. And here's the this is how you know it's a rivalry. The current record is 54-54-8.
Wow.
Okay? It's 54 wins, 54 losses, and 8 ties. That's how you know it's a rivalry. So it's a long-standing rivalry. There's a lot of tradition. And here's the other part. Everybody thinks, like, oh, it doesn't matter. But in some ways, Auburn maybe should have been put in the East. Auburn is the second closest SEC school to Georgia. Georgia's in the East with all the Eastern schools. But after South Carolina, Auburn is the closest, the second closest school to Georgia. So it's much closer than Knoxville. It's much closer than Florida. It's much closer than, you know, Vanderbilt or anywhere else. Certainly closer than Missouri. In terms of Auburn, you know, Georgia is the second closest school right behind Tuscaloosa. And it's only about 15 miles further away than that. So really, the idea that two schools that close to each other wouldn't play is, I mean, it's a little bit saddening to me. So I've been to many of those games. I grew up in Atlanta. The Auburn-Georgia rivalry means something to me, and I would hate to see it go away so that we could get a few more, you know, like Ole Miss-Kentucky games or a few more, you know, LSU-Missouri games or whatever. I think that's just silly. So I know the one benefit to you would be more visits of Auburn to Missouri. You can see them more easily, and that maybe selfishly you'd like that. But I think that the Auburn-Georgia game is important, and I think it's a great rivalry. We need to continue it. And I'm concerned about the SEC scheduling discussion and doing away with it. I think, to me, Auburn needs to fight to keep the rivalry.
All right, let me ask you this then. Does going to 9 games, wouldn't that make it more likely we keep these existing rivalries instead of less likely? I'm not sure I understand that.
Well, I mean, they could go to 9 games and 3 rotating opponents.
Okay.
Because, I mean, yes, you could go to a 9-1-2 kind of thing and have more rotating lists. But if the goal is to keep the schedule rotating more often and have fairer, more balance or whatever, then playing more teams from the other division would do that. So, you know, if you're playing almost half the other division every year and then it switches, you know, basically every 3 years you've played everybody in the other division. And some of them twice. So, you know, that's a huge increase in the cycle now, which is like, you know, you're not going to see some teams for 30 years in a home game. So that's a big difference. So I know that the coaches are violently opposed to a 9-game schedule. So
right. Yeah. They don't want to trade Florida Atlantic for Florida.
That's right.
I mean, but all right. Well, first, I got several things to note about what you just said, which I think was very well put. One is that it's amazing to think that we've played Georgia 116 times, especially when you consider that probably in at least 16 of those 116, the Georgia fans didn't whine about it afterward. So that's, you know, that's something, I guess. I wonder if now teams are going to say, it's not fair that we have to play Vanderbilt every year, because they're so good.
See, and that's a cyclical thing.
Exactly.
You could pick an Eastern opponent to play over the long haul, you'd pick Vanderbilt. You know, and they're good right now, but they haven't been good in the past, and I bet a certain amount of money that at some point they're going to drop off and not be good in the future.
Right. Yeah. No, this is their little window of time, and it's they have 8-4 years like we have 3-9 years.
Yes.
It happens every so often, and that's great. And I don't think it should be insulting to Vanderbilt fans to say that, because they know reality just like we do, right? I mean,
some of them.
Well, yeah, we don't sit around saying, you know, Auburn should be 12-0 every year. We're not that arrogant, you know. So they shouldn't think they're going to be, you know, 8-4 every year, because they're Vanderbilt. They are what they are, you know. So the thing that's so funny about moving Auburn to the East is that Alabama hates that idea for one simple reason. If Auburn moves to the East and there's only one permanent opponent in the East, Alabama has to come clean and fess up that we, and not Tennessee, are their big rival. They like to, it's just one more way that they like to stick it to us, right? Is to say, well, you're not even our biggest opponent, really. It's Tennessee. But everybody knows that if we move to the East, they would choose us over Tennessee, unless they just did it just to be spiteful and hateful, which is what they would do anyway. So I wouldn't be shocked, right? It's in their character to do it. But honestly, they just don't want to have to be put in the position to admit that the Auburn-Alabama game is bigger than the Alabama-Tennessee game. They don't want to have to admit that. And so they like to be able to keep doing both so that they're not forced to choose. Now, what you alluded to about 9 conference games and about my selfish reasons, which you're absolutely right, but think about the way that it's working right now. Word came out, a year or two ago that Missouri was joining the SEC. Everybody but me said, And I said, yeah, because I'm less than 2 hours away from the Missouri campus. I'm thinking, I get to see Auburn play, and I don't have to drive 10 hours each way to do it. This is going to be awesome. And then I discover, they're going in the East, and the only way they don't go in the East is if Auburn goes in the East, which still puts them in the other division anyway. Okay, so there was the one guaranteed certainty was that Auburn and Missouri would not be in the same division, whichever it was, right? So what that meant was that if we didn't go to 9, if we stayed with 8 conference games, Missouri will have Auburn playing in Missouri once every 12 years. And to me, any formula that has one school visiting another one time in 12 years is a ridiculous formula.
Sure, and you're thinking about it from the your perspective, but thinking about it from a traditional rivalry perspective, that same ratio applies to games against Florida, games against Tennessee, two teams that Auburn used to play every single year.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I've said for years that the most ridiculous thing that happened when the SEC split in 92 was making Ole Miss and LSU our permanent opponents in our same division. I mean, we didn't make them. They had to be because they're in our division. And losing Tennessee and Florida because we used to play Ole Miss like once every 9 years or something, or every 7 or 8 years. And that was fine with me. Maybe if I'd lived in Oxford, I'd have wanted it more often, but it's not that far away anyway. So I don't know. But I guess my point is there certainly are lots of good arguments to make for not doing 9 conference games and all that. But the thought of having a 14-team conference and teams not visiting each other but once every 12 years, to me, I just think that makes it bankrupt. I can't figure out how that can possibly be a good thing. So, but
I'd agree with that.
That's what we have. So, well, I don't really have a place to put this, but I want to throw this out to you for your comments before we transition to our next topic. Think about this. This is one of the things I uncovered as I was, preparing for this our new set of episodes here leading up to the fall. One of the statistics I uncovered, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure this was it, is that last season, what was LSU's final record?
10-3.
Okay. 10-3. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yes.
Most programs would love to have a 10-3 season. What ranking of finish in the SEC did that entitle them to? 10-3.
Out of all SEC teams?
Yes.
6th?
5th.
5th.
Good Lord. 5th, 10-3.
It's tough at the top.
That's crazy. Because Alabama finished with what, 13-1?
Yes.
And then you've got Texas A&M had 2 losses. Georgia had two losses maybe. They lost the SEC championship game. Lost South Carolina. And South Carolina went 11-2, right? 11-2, 11-3, something like that.
Yep. Alabama 13-1, Georgia 12-2, Florida 11-2, South Carolina 11-2.
So LSU at 10-3 was no better than 5th. I mean, how are you supposed to compete in a conference that's that stacked? That's just crazy. I mean, Auburn was pretty bad last season, but what it really shows is if you lose half a step, right, you're going to drop like a rock. You've got to be a national caliber program every year. You've got to be a program on the fringes of the national championship discussion every year just to finish in the top six in this conference.
That's right.
The top six. I mean, you know, Texas A&M, Florida, Georgia, they were all in the national championship conversation until the very end. And none of them finished in the top two?
Nope.
It's just amazing. So all you have to do is have one little fall off, and you go 14-0 to 8-5 to 3-9. So, yeah, it's just amazing that you have to basically be a world-class program just to get in the door of the upper half of the SEC. And then,
that's right.
And then things have to bounce your way from that point to see where in the top six, you know, you end up. I mean, Vanderbilt had their greatest season in decades, right? 8-4. And they were probably, what, seventh, eighth, ninth in their own conference? It's just...
Sure.
So... Well, there you go. So, all right. What's our next point on the agenda, John?
Well, the next thing I want to talk about was some – we don't talk about gambling on this podcast, but there were some early lines that came out from Las Vegas for games for the college football season, and they're a good predictor of where Las Vegas and many members of the public think teams will end up and how teams will do. And many of those lines were not friendly to Auburn.
No. None of the conference ones.
No. Out of the games that came out, the only game that Auburn was favored in was the opener against Washington State, where Auburn is an 11-point favorite. After that, Auburn is a 1-point underdog to Mississippi State, an 18-point underdog to LSU.
Wow.
Which is crazy after you think about how that game went last year.
Yeah.
A 24-point underdog to Texas A&M, a 3.5-point underdog to Arkansas.
Oh.
An 8-point underdog to Tennessee, which I don't understand at all. A 15-point underdog to Georgia, and a 24-point underdog to Alabama.
Well, we're gonna go through and preview this, and I don't think we've said this yet, right? We're gonna go through and preview the entire season beginning today, and so we're gonna today look at the first three. We're gonna do Washington State, Arkansas State, and Mississippi State. Our tour of the states. Right, we're starting out with three, and I guess then LSU, so Louisiana State. So we have a whole run of state institutions coming up to begin the season. But we're going to look at the first three today, and so we'll kind of go through and talk about them. But I just got to say off the top of my head, I think 11.5 to Washington State is favoring us a little too much. And I think I can see what you mean about LSU, but remember the LSU game is in LSU, and
sure,
it usually swings their way pretty heavily down there. There have been quite a few Black Saturdays, as they say. 24 at Texas A&M after what happened last year, to me, is a great compliment to us. It's saying that we're going to come back from like 40, whatever we lost to them, 50, 60. How much did we lose to them last year? Just some astronomical number. It became just comical. I lost track of the score and only lose to 24. Then again, being down 3.5 to Arkansas, I mean, Arkansas is the one team in the West that I feel like we have a legitimate shot to really be better than. I don't know if we'll beat them, but we should be better. It seems on paper we're better than Arkansas. So that's kind of insulting to me. And then I agree. Tennessee, on what basis do you make Tennessee a more than one touchdown favorite over Auburn? I just don't get that at all.
But I think the important lesson here is that as Auburn fans, we're excited about Malzahn. We're excited about the new season. We have a lot of hope. But a lot of people outside Auburn haven't forgotten how bad Auburn was last year, how bad the team was, and how poorly we performed in those games. And it's represented in these numbers.
Yeah.
This isn't make-believe, you know, pulled out of a hat. This is based on perception of how good Auburn was at the end of last season.
Well, and you know, you make a good point. It's not just that. This is a Las Vegas betting line. They don't set the numbers on necessarily what they think is going to happen. They set the numbers to get people to bet. And so these are the numbers they think that reflect perceptions.
Right. And the goal is to get people to bet both sides.
Right, right.
So if they had picked numbers where Auburn was favored in some of these games, then everybody would have bet against us and they'd lose money. So
absolutely,
they have to find a number. And the perception of Auburn is that we're so down, we're so far down that these lines make sense.
In fact, what that means is that they think that half the bettors out there think that Tennessee favored by 8 over Auburn is not enough. Half the people should think that.
Sure.
Wow.
It's okay.
I mean, just think about it. But again, because I'm using logic and reason and analysis. They're just saying this is what we think bettors will do, how they'll react. But think about this. Auburn and Tennessee are both starting with new coaches this year. But which one has more familiarity with what's going on? Which one has an entire roster of players recruited by the new coach?
At Malzahn.
And when was the last time – this is an interesting number here. Do you remember the last year that Tennessee beat Auburn?
No. That was in that Peyton Manning championship game, right? Was it that game?
No, they came back the next year and beat us in Auburn in 98 to win the national championship. We were their closest game, basically.
Oh, that's right. That was a terrible game.
And then, yeah. And then and then the next year we played them in Knoxville, 99, in Tuberville's first year. And that was the we were starting like our third string quarterback because Leard was hurt, I believe, and that was a disaster. But 99 was the last time. So Tennessee has not beaten us in this century. We beat them in Auburn in 2003. We beat them twice in 2004. We beat them in our horrible 2008 season. We beat them in Knoxville with that 2008 team. Think about that.
Sure.
And then we beat them in Auburn in 2009 in Chizik's first year. So this is the first time we've played them. We're 5-0 against them in this century. That was a rivalry that was back and forth for a long time, and then Tennessee kind of got the upper hand for a little while, but Auburn has totally wrestled control of that series over into our direction lately.
Sure.
So, well, more about that one later on. What's your overall evaluation then of those lines? I mean, do you think those numbers are going to change as they get closer? I mean, in our favor, or how do you maybe once we name a starting quarterback, do you think they'll change? What do you see?
I don't think any of that will change until stuff happens on the field. I think the perception of Auburn isn't going to be changed until we do something to change it, and that's go out and play good football. And I think Auburn is going to be much better than we were last season. It would be hard to be worse. I mean, as we said, this is the worst season basically in school history.
Yeah.
I think Auburn's going to be much better on offense and defense, and I think some positions dramatically better. So I think we're going to go from basically terrible non-competitive to competitive, both on offense and defense. So I think once we get into the games, we're competitive. I think those lines will change pretty dramatically.
Which one of those do you think is the most egregious either way?
I think I got to go with you and say the Tennessee game. I mean that's on the road, and I understand that, but Tennessee has not been good recently.
No. I think Tennessee is egregious. I think Arkansas is the other one, maybe just because I feel like we should be favored in that game. Arkansas is not going to be a good team. Auburn's, I just think there's still a lot of mystery around Auburn, and that's what's kind of keeping people from having confidence. Like you say, all they really have to look at is last year. And if you look at last year, you wouldn't favor Auburn in a rock fight.
With a bunch of third graders.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, and the other point I was going to make is I've gone back and watched a few of the games from last year.
If only
just to get them off my DVR, right? They were taking up 3 or 4 hours of space on my DVR. And I wanted to look at them one last time just to make sure they actually happened before I deleted them. And I've got to tell you, while the Texas A&M game was like the Keystone Cops, it was just, I just fast forwarded through that thing. It was like, or I guess the music really should have been, you know, it's like a circus.
That's right.
Well, but here's what I found. I had not gotten to see the Ole Miss game, and I didn't ever go back and watch it after I found out that we lost by double digits or whatever. I'd been unable, something was going on in the family or whatever, and I didn't get to watch the Ole Miss game. And honestly, at the time, I wasn't that upset that I didn't get to watch it. I know that sounds horrible. I've watched some pretty bad Auburn performances over the years, you know.
Sure.
But going back and watching the entire Ole Miss game, we played pretty darn good, and we were in that game until the last couple of minutes.
Sure.
It was one of those games where, you know, like the Florida State game back in the 80s, where they said the dam broke and Auburn wins by 22 or whatever.
Yeah.
We were in that game until just the wheels fell off right toward the end. But I was watching it thinking, okay, any minute now, Ole Miss drops the hammer. And I kept watching and I kept watching. And we were only down like 7 at halftime or something. And we were right in there. You know, it was like the Clemson game. We were hanging in there and hanging in there. And so the conclusion that I've drawn from that is that we certainly did reach a point halfway through the season or so where the team kind of gave up or at least quit trying as hard or whatever you want to say that's fair, you know. But honestly, we were not as horrible of a team last year as the record indicates. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that in the sense that I think there's talent on the roster, and I think at times we were amazing. We were poorly coached, poorly organized. We got terrible play at certain positions. The quarterback play was abysmal for a lot of the season, and the offensive coordination was dreadful. And given that, you know, we were in that game, we're in the LSU game, we're in the Arkansas game. You know, all these games were competitive. It could have gone either way. And Auburn was basically, you know, in the, you know, playing at 25% of their ability, I think, because things were going so poorly. I think with a better quarterback, with much better coaching, I think you're going to see a dramatic difference, and I think those games could go the other way.
Yeah, I look back at our schedule last season. We easily could have beaten Clemson. We easily could have beaten Ole Miss, though if you look at the score, you'd think I was crazy, but it's true. We easily could have beaten LSU. You know, those three would have made us 6-6 and possibly a bowl team. We easily could have beaten Vanderbilt. We only lost by 4. 7-5 right there. I mean, and think about this. The years that we had Gus on either side of the Cam year, right? 2009 and 2011, those were the games that we would eke out a win. And what did we always finish? 7-5. And then we'd go to a bowl game and we would win and be 8-5. I think that if we had had Gus as our offensive coordinator last year, we'd have gone 7-5 and gone to a bowl game. And maybe gone 8-5 for 3 out of 4 years. Now, I'm not saying that's a great thing, but it beats the crap out of 3-9, doesn't it?
Yes, except that then Chizik could still be here.
That's true. That's true. No.
And I think this was a good thing to flush all the system out and get new coaches. And I'm excited about, honestly, our defense has been bad for so long, and I'm a defense-first guy. I can't wait to see the Ellis Johnson defense. So.
No, you make a very good point, right? We needed to take the medicine and go ahead and flush it out immediately. But I guess my point is, I think that last year's team would not necessarily have been that much worse than 2009 or 2011 in terms of record if we'd had the same system and the same assistant coaches.
I agree, and I think that's about talent. I think we have seen Auburn teams over the years that didn't have as much talent as the other top-shelf SEC teams. And you can look at the end of the Bowden era when some of the players we had at running back and some other positions weren't SEC-caliber players.
Right.
But that wasn't the case with last year's team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just didn't know what they were doing. They weren't being told properly how to do it, and there was a lot of discontent and just, yeah, we've been through all that. All right. You ready to get into the first set of game previews?
I am. I'm excited.
All right. Who's up first?
The very first game is Washington State at home in Auburn. It'll probably be a night game, ESPN2, something like that. Mike Leach comes to town, his second year, Washington State.
Arr!
The pirate-loving guy. They weren't very good last year, lost a lot of games, but like you'd expect from Leach, really good throwing the ball. They were last in the nation at rushing,
That's unbelievable.
29 yards a game rushing the ball. That's crazy. But, you know, they did throw the ball around a good bit. They were a good passing offense, and they had over 400 yards passing against Oregon, Stanford, and UCLA. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. They came close to beating Stanford, and they beat Washington.
That's right, in the end of the season. So they got better as the season went along. They got more dangerous. They have a lot of returning starters, 9 on defense and kind of 7 to 8 on offense. The quarterback is not listed as a returning starter, but he played a good bit last year, so he's got experience. Halliday is his name. And, you know, you got to think with a whole year in the system, they're going to be better, certainly on offense. I'm not sure they have, you know, top-shelf caliber players on defense to be able to play, you know, with the top 20 teams in the country. But I think they're going to throw the ball around and challenge Auburn that way, and it's going to be a huge test for the Auburn defense to slow them down.
Well, the Cougs, as they like to say, it's an interesting matchup. We hosted them a few years ago, and it was a fairly close game for a while, and then Auburn kind of pulled away. I forget what year. That was like 2005 or 2007 or something like that, somewhere in there. Our listeners all know and think I'm stupid now. But, yeah, Washington State, I like them. I watched them a good bit last year. I watched every bit of the Apple Cup between them and Washington. I could not believe – I saw it later. I'd recorded it. I watched it later knowing that Washington State won. And the whole way through, I'm like, there's no way Washington State won this game. Is this like that Miami-Maryland game, you know, from years ago?
Very much.
And it was, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because they've got Connor Halliday coming back, but he really didn't have very good numbers last year. He threw about as many interceptions as touchdowns. So the first thing that makes me think of is if we get Nick Marshall, it could be the interception bowl for both sides, depending on how that goes, right? He only completed 52%. They have a redshirt freshman quarterback coming in named Apodaca or something like that that's supposed to be pretty good, so we'll see. Yeah, they don't run the ball very well, and I don't see them running very well against our defensive front. So it really is going to be an early test for our secondary and this new system under Ellis to see if we can limit that prolific passing game. They're going to have us running all over the field. What do you think about Leach overall? Do you know much about him?
I haven't read his book. I've always wanted to, but, I mean, he's an interesting character. People seem to like him. He had a lot of success at Texas Tech. He built that program up over the years, and they were very competitive, and I enjoyed watching him there. So I'm interested to see what he does at Washington State.
Yeah, I read his book. I got it from the library and read it pretty quickly, and the Swing Your Sword book, and it is really interesting. He's a fascinating guy. He did things like he moved to Key West – just because he'd always wanted to live in Key West and like hang out around Jimmy Buffett. And so he did for no apparent reason. You know, I mean, he just does these things. And they say he's just the kind of guy you can sit down and talk to for like 3 hours at the bar and just talk about every conceivable topic and be utterly fascinated. So seems like he'd be a neat guy to talk to. But yeah, remember, he was the mastermind on offense for Kentucky, right? Hal Mumme?
That's right. He was part of that group that developed the air raid kind of offense at Kentucky with I think Holgerson and Mumme, a few other people were in there. So.
And then he went out to – wasn't he the guy that went out to Oklahoma with Stoops?
That's right.
Yeah, so he's got quite a pedigree before he ended up in Lubbock. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that he you know, what got him run out of Lubbock was the allegations of abusing players, and he's already having that happen again. In fact, their all-time leading receiver left the team last fall claiming verbal, mental, and physical abuse. So you got to wonder if there's something strange going on with Leach or his coaching staff there. But I don't know. But, the game they play after us is Southern Cal. They turn right around after traveling to Auburn and travel to Los Angeles to play Southern Cal. So
wow.
I wonder if there could be any look ahead there. Do you think maybe we could get a little bit of an edge from them kind of thinking about having a shot at
look ahead, like we go, oh, we're gonna beat Auburn and go play Southern Cal.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think coming to SEC Stadium and playing a night game for a TV audience would be a big game for them, and they know they need to come out and play well. So I think it's a good test for us, and it's good preparation for playing Texas A&M because
that's true.
You know, same spread you out, throw the ball around. A lot of the stuff you do in the secondary is gonna be the same. Auburn's gonna have to tackle an open space. something that's been a problem in the past couple of years. And so that's going to be a big challenge. The other thing is, I think with Gus's offense, with the players we have coming back, we're going to be able to line up and run the ball in this team. And whether it's Cameron Artis Payne or Trey Mason, I think Auburn's going to have success running the ball.
Yeah, running the ball. And I don't think that they can block us very well. It could look something like Nick Fairley going up against the Oregon offensive line. You know, those Pac-12 offensive lines are kind of lightweight, and they don't do well against the big bulldozers of the SEC, it seems like. So I expect a lot of quick passes, a lot of fast play. That could be a very fast game. You know what I'm saying? Both teams running the fast-paced offense to a certain degree. You could don't go to the bathroom during that game, I guess, you know.
Could be very entertaining.
So what do you think the outcome will be?
I think Auburn's going to win. And the line is whatever, 11.5. I think that's in the ballpark of like 30-20, something like that.
I think we'll win. I think it'll be closer than all that. I feel like we need to give Gus a little more time to get things going. I think we'll win, but I'm going to say something like, I think there'll be a lot of points scored. I'll say something like 34-27, maybe something like that. Auburn,
sure.
34-30. So the very next week, we welcome in a team that let me put it this way. The very next week, Gus Malzahn will be coaching in Jordan-Hare. We knew that before we hired him, didn't we?
That's right.
But it's just he'll be on the other sideline. He'll be on our sideline coaching against the team he coached for 1 year, the Arkansas State Red Wolves of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and my buddy Mickey.
And this was 2 years ago. This was supposed to be the Gus Malzahn and Michael Dyer return to Auburn game.
Yeah,
but that didn't quite work out.
No, didn't because Gus. I don't know where is Dyer now. I've lost track of him.
He's like at Arkansas Baptist or something.
Wow, that's just astonishing, isn't it? That he's fallen that man. But anyway,
yeah. I hope he gets his life together and has a successful, happy life.
God bless, yeah. Get in the NFL, be fun to watch him on. Maybe he can get up on the Panthers or something. Arkansas State, they had 2 years ago, they had
Hugh Freeze,
and then they had Gus. Now they bring in Brian Harsin, who runs the same kind of offense as these last two guys. Of course, he doesn't have Ryan Applin at quarterback. You know, having a quarterback like Ryan Applin, I watched a lot of Arkansas State last year because it was more fun to watch Gus and his new team than it was to watch Auburn a lot of the year, right? And so I watched a good bit of Arkansas State. It's a tribute to television coverage of football today that you could see Arkansas State almost every Saturday on TV.
It's a joy to be a college football fan in 2013.
Mm-hmm. And so Applin was very good. I don't know how much of that was Gus's coaching and how much was just he was very good to start with. I think a little bit of both. But he looked really, really good. And so one thing that we have in our favor this year is that Arkansas State will not have Ryan Applin as their quarterback when they come into Jordan-Hare. That is very much in our favor. They're going to be breaking in somebody new. And I think it will probably be Adam Kennedy, perhaps.
Sure.
And so I don't know a whole lot about him, but they do have good receivers, and they have a really good running back. I enjoyed watching Arkansas State's running game last year a bunch because they used David Oku, the former Tennessee player, kind of used him the way that we used Dyer before, as like a bowling ball kind of blasting up the middle on the hurry up.
Mm-hmm.
He ran for more yards than Trey Mason did. Of course, he wasn't playing, you know, Alabama and Texas A&M every week. But he scored 16 touchdowns last year, had almost 1,100 yards. He's a really good back, and he's very tough.
Yep.
So that's going to be a challenge for our defense, is to stop their running game as much as their passing game, I think.
I agree. I mean, they built up a good offense over the years. They're a very confident team. They've had a lot of success. They expect to win. And I think they're not going to come into Auburn and roll over.
No.
They're going to come in and attack and think that, you know, we're vulnerable and they're going to come after us. So I think we're going to have to play well in that game. You can't think, oh, it's this team. We could beat them. Don't worry about it. So I think we have to be prepared to go after them and attack and try and knock them out.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that you can chalk this up as an automatic win. I think this is one we're going to have to fight every bit as hard as any game we play to have a chance to win. I think they're very good. They're very tough. They return. I was trying to say they return 7 starters on offense, but only 5 on defense. So we may be able to take a little bit of advantage. I mean, you got to think that a combination of factors that they only have 5 returning starters on defense, and Gus knows that defense, right? He knows those players. Yeah. I mean, they even have the same defensive coordinator they had last year. What happened was Gus left to come to Auburn, and they temporarily handed the team over to John Thompson, not the Georgetown John Thompson, but the fairly well-known defensive coordinator. He's bumped around a lot around the South over the years. They handed over to him for a while before they hired Brian Harsin. So John Thompson runs a kind of an unorthodox. How would you describe his defense? It's kind of
wild. He was the defensive coordinator at Tuberville for a year.
Not at Auburn, right?
I think he was at Auburn for a year.
No, I don't remember that.
All right, we'll check that. Keep going. But
everybody out there but us thinks they know, so they can tell us. They'll tweet us and Facebook us and tell us what they think. But yeah, I don't think he was ever at Auburn. I think you're thinking about
Lovett.
No, yeah, you're probably thinking about Lovett, and then the 1 year wonder guy in 2005 that went to the Chiefs or whatever.
Gibbs,
right? So yeah, I don't believe he did, but I think he was at Arkansas maybe. Under Nutt briefly, and maybe at Ole Miss or something.
Maybe it was at Ole Miss under Tuberville. All right, keep going.
Okay, so they've got continuity on defense, but Gus knows the defense. So even if it's kind of quirky, you know, he was Gus's defensive coordinator last year. Gus kind of understands it, knows it. I think that's got to be an advantage for us. Their punter. This is really kind of sad. They're punting. They had the worst punting in all of FBS last season. The worst punting. I mean, that's a trick.
That's amazing.
To have the worst punting. Even, I mean, and think about this. They went 9-3 and won their bowl game with the worst punting in college football last year. Mm. That's pretty amazing. Now, I meant to say something about Harsin. Do you know who this guy is?
He was at Boise State. That's why I know him. And then he was at Texas.
Yeah. He was the offensive coordinator at Boise, and then he went to Texas as an offensive coordinator. Now, how did he – I'm assuming that Texas hired him from Boise because they thought he was good, right?
Yes, and because the Texas offense was boring and cruddy.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out so well. The offense wasn't that great at Texas.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm assuming he left Boise for Texas – as a step up, but then I'm thinking he went from Texas to Arkansas State. Is offensive coordinator at Texas to head coach at Arkansas State, is that a lateral move? Is that a step down? I mean, seriously, is it?
He wants to be a head coach. He took the job and became a head coach. I mean,
Okay. Well, I mean, when Gus went from offensive coordinator at Auburn to head coach at Arkansas State, some people were acting like it was a step down.
So I can understand that.
So if you do the same thing from Texas to Arkansas State, ... Yeah. So anyway, I'm trying to figure out is, was this like a consolation job for him, or is this like he's the hot new property and Arkansas State snapped him up? It's got to be somewhere in between those two poles, I guess.
I would say for Harsin, moving from Texas to Arkansas State was a sideways move, but many people would rather be their own boss than work for somebody else, and I can understand that. And we look at look at Arkansas State. You know, the last two guys who were head coach there are SEC head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So it clearly is a place where you go and do well, people will notice.
And I guess the last point I would make about Arkansas State simply is they've had, like, what, 4 head coaches in 4 years or something now. You've got to think it's disruptive to some degree. Certainly they played very well last year for Gus. They played even, well, maybe arguably better for Hugh Freeze the year before. Now, they did lose 3 games last year, but let's all bear in mind that the first 2 losses were on the road at Oregon and at Nebraska. So, and they actually played Oregon better than almost anybody else did all season. They scored 45 points on Oregon. So
yeah, but did you watch that game? It was mostly garbage time stuff. Oregon jumped out to a huge lead, and then Arkansas State started scoring and as the game went along.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but still, putting up 45 points when you're Arkansas State at Oregon is...
No, I agree, and Oregon has a lot of NFL guys on defense. That's impressive.
Yeah. Their only loss that was one of those you kind of feel bad about, I guess, was Western Kentucky, but Western Kentucky was a darn good team last year. They beat Kentucky.
And beat Kentucky and had an excellent young coach.
That's right. And they've got a very good... very questionable coach coming in this year, don't they?
Well, some people's candidate for the Auburn job, Bobby Petrino.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. And he is at Western Kentucky. So, okay, and our last of our three teams to pre... Oh, we got to say, well, so you think this is a win, right?
I do. I think Auburn can beat him. I think this is a game where Gus's knowledge of the team and Auburn being at home, I think Auburn will be prepared and play well in this game.
Yeah. I see probably, I think like another 6-point win. I know that Auburn fans are going to hate me for saying that, but honestly, I mean, every year when we do our predictions, either on the website at War Eagle Reader or here, they always hate me because I try to be realistic, you know? And I kind of prefer to underestimate and be pleasantly surprised rather than overestimate and be disappointed.
I understand that feeling.
So I underestimate or get it right and am jumped on by the Auburn faithful, fellow Auburn family. So
here's the other thing. I mean, early in the season, teams are playing in their full capability. I think Auburn later in the year will be playing better than Auburn at the beginning of the year. So I think the second game of the season, Auburn will still be working the kinks out with the offense and the defense, and I think they won't be playing as well as they potentially can. So
yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that's Arkansas State, and then our third game for 2013 will be we welcome in the Mississippi State Bulldogs and their stellar head coach, their give him a huge raise, head coach, with his sparkling record at Mississippi State of 29-22.
It's impressive.
29-22.
Listen, Auburn was his first SEC West win other than Ole Miss when he beat us last year. The worst Auburn team in a century, he beat that team for his first SEC West
win. First SEC West win in his career as the head coach at Starkville,
that's right?
That's
right, yes.
Wow. All right. What's your overview of Mississippi State in general and coming into this season and this game?
Well, I think that Mississippi State is one of those teams. They're kind of a middle-of-the-pack SEC team, you know, 7-5, 8-4 kind of team. They have senior quarterback Tyler Russell, played the game of his life against us last year. They have a good running back with Darius Perkins. They only have 5 starters back on defense. They lost both corners and their excellent secondary coach went to Auburn, but both corners in the NFL. That's a big loss because they were great in that game last year. So playing on the road in Auburn will be tough. It helps to have a senior quarterback. A couple of other things about this game, I think. Number one is Mississippi State opens by playing Oklahoma State in a neutral site game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge non-conference game. Nobody thinks about that game with all the other great early season non-conference games. That's going to be really fun to watch. And Oklahoma State is really, really good. So that's going to be a very tough test. Mississippi State's going to have to play to the maximum of their ability in that game. And so they're not going to be able to, you know, not pull out all the stops. So Auburn's going to see what Mississippi State has in that Oklahoma State game.
Yeah.
We're going to get a very – now, they're going to get the same thing with us playing the two teams that we're playing before them. But it's not one of these things where they play a couple of cupcakes and we're not sure what they're doing out there. We'll have a very good idea about Mississippi State and what they can and can't do after the Oklahoma State game. The other thing is I recently got the Phil Steele College Football Preview, my favorite – College Football Preview magazine, and one of the things, they have a lot of great stats in there. One of them they have is where they look at starts lost due to injury. And the basic theory is that over time, some things to college football are luck. One of them, for example, is like turnovers and turnovers you recover that's basically luck. Like fumbles you recovered, it's just like a 50-50 thing. And if you get 70% of the fumbles 1 year bounce your way, you're just getting lucky. It's not good playing or good coaching. It's just luck.
Mm-hmm.
So, and injuries is kind of the same thing. All the SEC teams have excellent training staffs, excellent facilities. Injuries is, in some ways, starts lost injuries is about luck. Georgia was very unlucky last year in that department. A team that was very lucky is Mississippi State. They only lost 4 games due to injury out of their entire starting lineup. So they were incredibly fortunate from that perspective. So they're going to bring back a less experienced team, you know, lost a lot of guys on defense, and the injuries even out a little bit. They're going to miss a few guys here and there. I think they're going to drop back to the pack a little bit in the SEC.
Yeah, I think that they just about have to drop back. They, like you say, for the various reasons. I mean, their wide receiver core was decimated by graduation or whatever. Their secondary, I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to throw the ball as well, and they're not going to be able to stop the pass as well.
That's
so
right.
They're going to be a running team, and they're going to be a stop the run team. Beyond that, I mean, that's kind of one dimensional in a way. So. Plus, I mean, as good as their quarterback was last year, he threw 8 interceptions in the last 2 games.
Yep.
So, again, Tyler Russell versus Nick Marshall, it could be. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh. And listen, Nick Marshall's going to be fine. If you read that, one of those articles about him, a lot of the problems was they were, you know, their defense was bad and they were behind in games. A lot of them were, he was having to force things. So.
Yeah, he was basically doing Hail Marys the entire second half. I mean, you're gonna expect to get a bunch of interceptions. I know, I kid, but it's just funny to think about that. People keep talking about Nick Marshall, and these other quarterbacks have a lot of interceptions too. So don't get too down on our guy if he does end up being our guy.
The other thing about Mississippi State is it's important. It's the first SEC game. It's a home game. It's a team we can beat. You know, they barely beat us last year, and Auburn played awful in that game.
Yeah.
That was, you know, a dreadful performance by the players and coaches on Auburn in that game. It was terrible execution. and Mississippi State, you know, scraped it out of the end to beat us. You got to feel like we're at home. We'll play better. We have a good chance to beat them.
Well, as you pointed out, what was our illustration on our column about this game last year?
Well, a dumpster on fire. That's the picture we chose to illustrate how poorly Auburn played in this game, was a dumpster fire.
Right, right. So, and yeah, and it wasn't a complete blowout. We were in it for a little while, like we were in most games. So
no, that's what I'm saying. Like, we were in the game till the, you know, middle of second half, and that, you know, it's just testament to how bad we played that they beat us like they did.
Yeah. They lose their top 4 receivers. They've got a good running back coming back. They've got a pretty good offensive line coming back. Their defense changes a little bit because they're promoting one of their co-defensive coordinators. Jeff Collins is going to be full-time defensive coordinator. And allegedly, he's a bit more attack-oriented, and he's like gotten him more in an attack mode. But he's going to have to. He's going to have to get more pressure from the line because they lose so much out of the secondary.
Every new defensive coordinator says they're going to attack more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you said this before, right? That you never
yes.
get a new defensive coordinator that comes in and says, I think we should be more passive, really.
We're going to just play coverages and stay back, prevent the big play.
What was the... When you and I lived in D.C., remember the was it the Giants or the, was it the Redskins had the coach that the philosophy was read and react?
Yes.
And we used to say it was like read the Washington Post and then react and see all the reactions from the fans.
That's right.
Well,
it's the truth.
Yeah. Well, they've got a new $25 million football facility, so. They're really making a commitment to join the big boys, but you know, I agree. I think it's interesting how the schedules the last few years have kind of sorted out. It used to be, you know, back in the 80s, the measuring stick early was Tennessee. We'd play Tennessee in like week 3, and that'd tell you how we are. And
yep.
then in the 90s, it kind of became LSU, and we would play LSU in like week 3. And now it's like Mississippi State. And there's a brief period where Ole Miss was kind of mixed in there. But now it's become Mississippi State, and it's interesting. It does show that Mississippi State's become a better team, that this is not just an easy win before we move into our, you know, meat of our schedule. But we tended to beat them more often than not the last few years. So, I don't know. What's your overall feeling about this game?
I mean, again, I'm an Auburn fan and optimist. I think this game is, you know, pretty much a toss-up. It's in Auburn. They have a senior quarterback who's played a lot of games. They have a good running back. They beat us last year. But I think in Auburn, Auburn improves, plays better on offense. I know the defense is going to be better. I think this game would, you know, come down to the end, and Auburn is, you know, probably should win it. You know, something like 2017, something like that.
I think that having it at home makes a big difference, because as we saw 2 years ago, having a game like this at home can come down to one big play changes the outcome dramatically. Remember the big tackle on the goal line?
Sure.
It worries me that they've been together for a while. Their staff's been together. They've had Mullen for a while. They know what they're doing. They know what they're trying to do. I'm concerned that it's a team just sort of finding itself versus a team that's pretty well established. But I do like the idea that they won't be able to pass as well, and I like the idea. Although, did you notice that Mississippi State is bringing in a freshman who's like the new Tim Tebow, allegedly?
Yeah, everybody's the new Tim Tebow.
Yeah, well, okay. it's interesting. So, yeah, I think we'll be able to throw on them a little bit, especially if our new receivers work out and we find somebody that can throw. I guess I'm just being kind of optimistic and trusting that we will get something on offense going better than last year simply because Gus can do that.
Auburn's offense was, you know, one of the worst 10 in the country last year. And I'm not saying Auburn's offense is going to be one of the best in the country, but if Auburn's offense improves and we're in the, you know, 40 to 50 range nationally, then we're going to be in these games that we're talking about. The offense will be fine. I'm talking about Chris Todd levels, 2009
exactly.
level offense.
Exactly.
I'm not talking about, you know, blowing every, you know, 500 yards a game. I'm talking about Chris Todd 2009 level offense. We'll be fine if we can do that.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and that's what will get us to at least 6-6 and at least a decent bowl game. So I agree. Yeah, so I guess we'll go ahead and say that we feel like we're going to win the first three.
Yep.
And after that, we'll have to see. So, all right. Any last thoughts before we wrap up this first installment of our season preview?
No, it's an exciting time. All the, you know, high school players that signed are reporting to campus, the junior college guys. So we're waiting. There's a couple of waiting to come in. But otherwise, it's, you know, it's that time they're doing summer workouts. We're looking forward to fall practice. It's not far away. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I'm looking forward to, you know, EA Sports NCAA 14 coming out, be able to play that, be able to, supposedly you can unlock Cam Newton, put him on Auburn. That'd be fun. So.
Oh, man. I might have to buy an Xbox and all that just for that then. I haven't done that in quite a while. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't been this optimistic. Certainly in a year, but I just haven't had this level of excitement. I mean, you know, I always had the sense under Chizik that we were an 8-5 team or 7-5 team with the hope of getting better because of our recruiting. Now I really feel like the future is a lot brighter and that the upper level of potential is a lot brighter. And I tell you what, having one Damian Craig walking around the athletic department as co-offensive coordinator and receivers coach and coordinator of stealing recruits from Alabama, that just makes me very, very happy. So I feel very optimistic about that.
Auburn's having continued success in the recruiting trail. It's great.
Absolutely. And back in Mobile, where he's doing so well, and in a little bit in Georgia, where we've got
Ronnie Garner.
Yeah, I'm just blanking out. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess that will do it for this week. Join us next week thereabouts when we will take a look at teams 4, 5, and 6, which are, of course, at LSU, Ole Miss, and Western Carolina.
Better do a lot of extra research for that Western Carolina game.
Those, you got to find out what those cat amounts to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ow. Yeah. Ow. There are no good catamount jokes. Any joke featuring catamount is automatically a bad joke. So I don't feel that bad about it. All right. Well, everybody, our time is up. We thank you for yours. And as always, War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.